This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.
Welcome to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. This is the 89.7 NPR News membership drive, and today is New Member Monday. More about that in just a moment. But first, last week, President Trump unveiled a host of tariffs on countries around the world. In what he deemed Liberation Day, President Trump reversed the last half century of economic and trade policy in the United States, claiming this will bring production back to our shores. The move also sent stocks plummeting and sent global shockwaves, leaving other countries to wonder what will happen to the economy now. Joining me is Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Welcome back to All Sides, Ken.
Thanks, Amy. Good morning.
So we all knew that these tariffs were coming. President Trump talked about them for a long time. Why was the reaction to them so intense?
Well, I think all you have to do is just take a look at the markets and the fact that they've dropped, the Dow has dropped 1,000 points with Thursday and Friday. And again, it's looking like another disastrous day on Wall Street. So it's hurting people's pocketbook. I mean, people are now realizing that the tariffs, you know, one of the reasons, perhaps the main reason Donald Trump was elected in 2024 was because of the, the realization that that Joe Biden was unable to keep down prices on groceries, on gasoline, on imports and things like that. And Donald Trump promised that on day one, these prices would come down and we'd afford more things. And it's no longer about eggs. It's about cars. It's about gasoline. It's about living. And people are looking that everything they've saved for all these years seems to be going up in smoke. So there's a tremendous reaction to what Trump is doing. And it's just shocking that the more he does, the worse it gets. And until Republicans in Congress seem to say that you've gone too far, I don't see how what changes and when it changes. The good news for Trump is that aside from the little thing we saw in Wisconsin and Florida last week, there are no elections coming up. And that's probably the best way that voters can express their dismay of what's going on.
Can you give us a historical perspective? Have presidents in the past delivered high tariffs? How does this time right now that we're in compare?
Well, no. I mean, everybody, even Republicans, have said for the longest time that high tariffs would always come back to bite you. Everybody's talked about Smoot-Hawley, the famous law between the two, the congressmen who put together the high tariffs back, I guess, in the 20s. But we've never seen a president as bad as it gets, they're just getting worse and worse and worse. And again, he said, I'm not going to be deterred. Everything seems to be about grievance and feelings that the other countries have taken advantage of us. But what Trump has done is that by raising the tariffs and raising the cost of everything coming into the country, that everything will get more expensive. And clearly, I mean, how else can you interpret what's going on? But he just doesn't seem to be deterred by what's happening. And it's just remarkable that, again, for the most part, Republicans are not complaining because, one, Donald Trump keeps saying, well, let's see what happens. And it's going to get better. It's going to get worse before it gets better, but it will get better. But right now, there's no end in sight, certainly no end at the end of the light at the end of the tunnel.
That's what I was going to ask you regarding the Republicans in Congress. I mean, will Congress do anything to stall or alter the tariffs if things continue to get worse before they get better? Because, I mean, with the Republican majority, the Republicans have to, at least a few of them, have to agree that they need to do something.
Well, there is. I mean, we did see something interesting last week when three Republicans, Lisa Murkowski, four Republicans, actually, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Mitch McConnell, and Rand Paul of Kentucky, all voted against Raising tariffs on Canada. And of course, if more and more Republicans vote against these kind of policies, something could happen. Look, Richard Nixon was not going to give up the presidency in 1974 until Republicans started to say, wait a second, you've gone too far, you've lost our support. And until Trump shows if there's any indication that Trump is losing support of Republicans, then nothing is going to change.
And while President Trump was also levying these massive tariffs, he also made a move to stop a popular trade loophole that allowed American shoppers to buy low-cost goods directly from retailers in China and Hong Kong. The loophole is used by companies like Shein and Temu. So if a package is worth $800 or less, it did not have to pay an import fee. It didn't have to go through customs inspection. And that's going to go away on May 2nd. Do you think this will be another noticeable change for people?
No, absolutely. And it just seems like it's punitive. It seems like, I mean, Trump again has always talked about retribution and getting back at, all the fentanyl that's coming into this country from Canada, when we know that the fentanyl is not coming into this country from Canada. But he just seems to have a reason for everything he's doing. And it seems to be more interesting that it's our allies, US allies, that seem to be bearing the brunt of this these higher prices and these economy destabilizing actions, whereas I don't see anything going on with Russia or North Korea. Of course, there's not much trading going on with these countries, but it seems like he's going out of his way to destabilize Europe, destabilize our relationship with Mexico and Canada. He's still talking about annexing Canada and taking over Greenland and whether they're distractions or not, but the fact that Trump has not backed down from anything. And Donald Trump doesn't back down from things unless, the funny thing is he never backs down from things until he does. And that's what's remarkable about Trump, that he says that this is my view, this is my policy, that's it. And then 5 minutes later, it's very possible he could just change his mind. But right now, I don't know why the headlines have not forced him into realizing that this could be a mistake. But right now, he's, straight ahead.
And you're listening to All Sides with Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News. This is our spring membership drive. Remember that public radio is listener-supported radio. Please make your gift right now at WOSU.org or call us 866-897-9678. This is a special day for our membership drive because today is New Member Monday. We have a special offer for new members for today only. When you become a new member, you can get our Stand with the Facts t-shirt for $5 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $60. This special offer is for first-time donors and for today only. If you listen tomorrow, New Member Monday will be over. Today is the day we're asking you to join us as a brand new member. It's a gray t-shirt, and it has NPR's Stand with the Facts logo on the front, plus the 89.7 NPR News logo is on the back and on the sleeve. Support truth in journalism with a monthly gift of just $5 a month and receive this great shirt. It is comfortable, it's bold, it's a great way to show your support for this public radio station. Help 89.7 NPR News fight the noise out there with knowledge. This is a great t-shirt for New Member Monday. Don't miss your chance to take advantage of this special offer, which ends tonight. You're running out of time. Do it right now. A monthly gift of $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Tomorrow, the shirt will return to $10 a month. So you want to become a new member. Today is the day. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And if you've been listening for a while and been meaning to make that gift, today is the best day to join the WOSU family. Giving right now supports political discussions like this one that you're hearing right now. We have Ken Rudin with us for the hour. And if hearing Ken's perspective on national politics is important to you, then now is the time to make that gift. Give while Ken is on the air and give in support of your future listening. We promise to bring you in-depth political conversations. We promise to explain the issues that matter. But that promise hinges on listener support. Do your part now at 866-897-9678 or at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to Deanna McCarthy from Columbus and also Sharon Holst from Delaware. Thank you, Deanna. Thank you, Sharon. Thanks for joining us today. And this is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about national politics with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. And Ken, I wanted to talk for a little bit about Senator Cory Booker. Cory Booker of New Jersey broke the Senate record for the longest filibuster last week. His speech was lasting for over 25 hours. And in doing so, Senator Booker dethroned the late Strom Thurmond, whose 24-hour filibuster against civil rights, against the Civil Rights Act, had previously been atop the record books. Do you think that Cory Booker's emerging right now as a possible new leader in the Democratic Party?
Well, I mean, he's already run for president once before in 2020, didn't get that far, but he's already on the list of national leaders, and he sure proved it by speaking out for the 25 hours. You know, it's interesting about that, because for the longest time, the people, Democrats have been complaining, or the progressives have been complaining, that Democrats are not doing what they should do. I mean, everybody's talking about how Chuck Schumer decided to vote with the Republicans to keep the government running, and the left kept saying, well, he gave in to Trump. Now, Schumer will, I mean, like Jon Stewart went off and off, you know, on Schumer and his vote to keep the government running. Schumer will say that if I didn't vote for it, they would blame the Democrats anyway for shutting down the government, and that's true. But anyway, the fact that they've been saying that the Democrats have been powerless and voiceless, and the fact that Cory Booker got so much attention, got so many so much responses around the country, it gave Democrats hope that there really is a pulse out there. There really is a backbone from the Democrats. And ultimately, what did it do? I mean, who knows? I mean, when Strom Thurmond filibustered the 1957 Civil Rights Act, you know, the segregationists loved it. And yet, of course, the 57 Civil Rights Act, which really was not that, you know, crazy. It wasn't really an amazing act, but in 1957, I guess for that it was, and it passed anyway. So, you know, but I don't think that what Booker was doing was really protesting a law or a bill or anything, or just saying that, look, what's going on is not acceptable. And I think that Democrats finally realized that, you know, there is a voice out there. And When I look at the combination of what Booker accomplished and the demonstrations around the country this week, which surprised me, actually, because hundreds of thousands of people, I mean, I kept saying, well, where are the, you know, the demonstrations we saw against the Vietnam War in 66 and 67 and 68, where is that opposition? Where is that anger at what's going on in the country? So I thought the combination of what Booker did and what the demonstrations did over the weekend was encouraging for people who think that maybe Donald Trump was not going to just go unchallenged for the rest of his time. By the way, I want to just say something about, we were talking about the fundraising that that WOSU is doing right now. I just want to say something that, you know, part of the Republicans in cutting everything, they're talking about cutting funds for public radio, NPR, PBS, you know, public media. And, you know, ultimately, the NPR will say, well, NPR only gets 1.6% of its budget from the federal government. But local stations around the country, WOSU and others, rely so much on federal funding that if that is cut, it really is the life supply of public radio. And so when you're talking about, please give to WSU, please, you know, purchase the t-shirt and you know, continue to give. Local stations desperately need the funding that is at jeopardy with these Republican cuts. So I think fundraising like this is more important than ever for public radio to survive.
And you can give right now and join us at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. This is our spring membership drive. This hour of All Sides is about national politics. Who better to pontificate on our political future than Ken Rudin, a veteran political journalist, host of the Political Junkie podcast. If having a show like this one is important to you, make a gift right now. If you've been thinking about becoming a new member, today's a great day to do that. The Stand with the Facts t-shirt is available to new members for $5 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $60. This is a great offer for new members, and it's for today only, so don't miss this chance. Become a new member today at $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60 on New Member Monday. Join us at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Sylvia Marer from Columbus. Thank you, Sylvia. And Eric Osborne from Pickerington. Thank you for your gift. Right now, the truth is under pressure. You can be a part of the solution. Today is New Member Monday, and when you start a monthly gift for $5 a month, you can get the exclusive Stand With The Facts t-shirt. It's bold, it's comfy, it has the 89.7 NPR News logo on it, not once, but twice, on the back and on the sleeve. Join in the fight against misinformation by saying that facts matter, and you'll say it right there on this great t-shirt. $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. And remember, the shirt returns to $10 a month tomorrow. Today is New Member Monday. It's just for Monday. Give right now and support a show and support everything you hear on this station. There certainly has been a lot to talk about. This station and this talk show have been covering it all. And recently, there is no shortage of news to cover. NPR will bring you news and information you can trust. That's why we're asking you to stand with NPR and stand with the facts with our thank you gift. If this station is your source for news and information each and every day, now is the time to show your support. Give at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. And Ken, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about the filibuster. Just the idea, you know, Cory Booker stood up there for 25 hours. Back in the day, Strom Thurmond did 24 hours. What are they trying to accomplish? Just to stop business for a day? Like, what is the point of the filibuster?
Well, that's a good point, because that's what filibusters in the past have done. Strom Thurmond in 57, in 1953, Wayne Morse of Oregon, then an independent. He went from Republican to independent to Democrat, but Wayne Morse gave a long, long speech in 53 that had the record until Thurmond broke it. But they were trying to stop legislation, stop the Senate from acting. That's not what Cory Booker's intent was. Basically, Cory Booker spoke for the millions of Americans who are looking at how prices have not come down. It's not even a Democrat or Republican thing. If people voted against Kamala Harris in 2024 and voted for Donald Trump because the price of eggs, because of the price of gasoline, because of the price of automobiles, then, of course, one would think whoever's president right now would also suffer the same fate because of things that cost so much money. So it wasn't that he was trying to block legislation, but he was speaking for millions of Americans who basically said, this course that is less than 100 days old, this course cannot continue unchallenged. And I think maybe this is the beginning of a Democratic reawakening, a Democratic recovery of a spine, of a backbone. But the fact is that what he's doing is maybe an indication that senators, and you're seeing a lot of them all over the country. You're seeing Chris Murphy of Connecticut being very, very aggressive. Amy Klobuchar of Minnesota is refusing to let these cabinet officials just get away with blather when she's trying to get an answer for why this didn't work or that didn't work. The Signalgate, so-called Signalgate scandal in this country is just remarkable what they did. And of course, if Hillary Clinton did it, you know, that would be, you know, it would be, you know, reason for certainly imprisonment. But now we have a Secretary of Defense and we have the National Security Advisor adding a journalist to a conversation about war plans. And they're saying, you know, because they were caught at it, they're saying, well, it's really no big deal. No secrets were breached, things like that. And besides, he's a left-wing journalist. That's what they love to do. Whenever they're caught in something, they'll blame somebody else, even though that's such an impractical response, an unbelievable response.
Yeah, but I was interested in getting your take on the Signal group chat. You know, whenever it was revealed that an editor for The Atlantic was accidentally added to that chat, and the chat was all about a combat mission in Yemen, what was your immediate reaction when you heard that?
Stunned. I mean, yeah. I was absolutely stunned the fact that they would be so careless with national security secrets, you know, basically talking about an impending attack on the Houthis. And the fact that they're saying that, oh, it really wasn't a mistake. There were no national secrets divulged and things like that. But remember when Hillary Clinton, you know, had a personal email account, Everybody just went ballistic. It's just so amazing that so many times that when they do it, meaning Democrats, when they do it, it's criminal behavior. When we do it, well, that's okay. I mean, when you listen to Pete Hegseth, the Secretary of Defense, and Tulsi Gabbard of national security and national intelligence. Listening to their answers and their excuses, it's as if they don't even believe a word they're saying either, but they have to follow the Trump line. And right now, actually, when it first happened, Trump said, "This is the first I'm hearing about it." And then when he found out about it, said, "Oh, it was no big deal," or it was really, it's actually Jeffrey Goldberg, that Atlantic editor who was added to the conversation. It was Goldberg, and they tried to put the onus on Goldberg for being, revealing of this story. So it's just remarkable that when they're caught doing something, they don't even try to ex they don't even come up with a real believable excuse out of it. They just say that, well, either it never happened or it's just, the left-wing media who's trying to make something big out of nothing.
We had a military historian from Ohio State on our show a week or two ago, Peter Mansour, and he said that what he was most worried about was that when you read the full group chat, you could tell that this was not a one-time thing, that they do it often, that these chats were, because there was like a roll call and they were like, "I'm setting up a chat for this." So obviously there were other chats. And he was worried about the public record, the record of history of like how many, because all Signal chats are deleted after a week. So he was just worried about how many things have happened and conversations and discussions that will just never be known and never go down in history.
Yeah, but look at the people that Trump has put into office. I mean, Pete Hegseth is a former Fox News weekend anchor who is just, railed against the left. That's why, he became Secretary of Defense. And he also became Secretary of Defense because Matt Gaetz was unconfirmable. I mean, Matt Gaetz, of all people, he's who Donald Trump wants as Secretary of Defense. Why do you pick Tulsi Gabbard, who's very close with, whose record in Congress and rhetoric in Congress often followed the Putin line? How do you put her the head of national, security and national intelligence? So the folks that who are in charge now in this Trump administration is just startling for their lack of qualifications and their lack of seriousness when it comes to guarding American secrets. The fact that Trump has fired plenty of people who are part of cybersecurity protection, elections protection, all those people are fired because I don't know why, but he's doing it. And it's just remarkable how vulnerable it seems that the president is making this country by his reckless actions and his unbelievable firings of people who've been so qualified to what they're doing.
Now, we all remember that there were hearings, there were congressional hearings with Hillary Clinton related to her email server. Is it just a matter of who's in charge? Will we have congressional hearings related to this signal gate?
Well, no, not if the Republicans are in charge. I mean, right now they said the Pam Bondi, Trump's attorney general, says, "I see no reason for an investigation." But I see more and more people, the more that they talk about it, the more they realize that something was breached here, that something really dramatic, that protocol was really violated here. That I'm not convinced that the administration or the Defense Department or whatever is going to let this slide completely and forget about it. I know Pam Bondi wants it to go away, Hegseth wants it to go away, Trump wants it to go away, but I can't believe that, given what happened, that's the last we've heard of it. So stay tuned. What's fascinating about this show, Amy, this particular show, is that we're in the middle of so much turmoil that's going on right now that it's not that we could look back and say, "Wow, those tariffs were amazing and have caused the Republicans to lose control, blah, blah, blah." We're in the middle of it right now. We don't know what's going to happen, but this is another story, another case where it's just so startling and so indescribable, and to watch it happen, and all we could do is just see where it takes us. But right now, there are no answers because we're in the middle of this hurricane.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News, and we're talking about national politics with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Thank you to Noelle Fox from Columbus. And Noelle made a comment to say that she appreciates all the news and listens daily. Well, thank you for listening, Noelle. Also, thanks to Selka Sung from Dublin, and we heard from Amy Wilson from Westerville. Amy, love your name. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Amy Jurevich. Support the station you listen to every day with a gift at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. Have you been relying on the station more and more for trusted news and information over the past few months? Well, stand up for honest reporting. Stand up for the station you trust. Stand with the facts with 89.7 NPR News today. Get our Stand with the Facts t-shirt for $5 a month on New Member Monday. Make a gift today in support of 89.7 NPR News and this show as well. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. New members are the future of 89.7 NPR News. And today is a great day to become a new member because we have this very special offer. Become a new member and get the Stand with the Facts t-shirt for $5 a month as a sustainer. This offer is for today only and it's special for new members. The t-shirt is gray, and it has NPR's Stand with the Facts logo on the front and the 89.7 NPR News logo on the back and on the sleeve. See a picture of it at our website, or we have pictures with several of our hosts on our social media accounts. And while you're there, make a gift. Wearing this shirt is the perfect way to make a bold and stylish statement and encourage others to stand with the facts by listening to 89.7 NPR News. Get this t-shirt today for $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Now remember, the t-shirt returns to $10 a month tomorrow, so if you've been meaning to become a new member, today is the day on New Member Monday. If you rely on the station for news and information every day, we're asking you to move from being a listener to being a member of 89.7 NPR News. And if you are a political junkie and you love to hear Ken Rudin, well then, give while Ken is on the air with us. If you are already a member, I want to say thank you so much for your support. Please consider making an additional gift this hour to show your support for our ongoing political coverage. You know, this year has certainly been unprecedented, and it's only April. So you depend on the station to help you sort through it all. So if you could consider making an additional gift this hour, maybe your gift will inspire someone else right now to become a new member. Give today and support your future listening. Given any amount, we're looking for participation in this show. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. I want to say thank you to Jennifer Harrison from Westerville. Thanks, Jennifer. And Paul from Bowling Green. Thank you, Paul, for your gift of support. And Paul writes that he enjoys the Reporter Roundtable. Yes, every Monday at 10, we have a Reporter Roundtable. We talk about the past week in Ohio politics and the week ahead. And this is a special sort of Reporter Roundtable with Ken Rudin for the membership drive. Give right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. And Ken, we can touch on a little bit of Ohio news in honor of Paul wanting to hear the Reporter Roundtable. U.S. Senator Bernie Moreno, who from Ohio, called the Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, who happens to be the highest-ranking Jewish U.S. elected official. He called him Führer, which is a reference to a title used by Adolf Hitler. Moreno made the comment while speaking to reporters about the Republican Party's efforts to pass President Trump's tax cut agenda. I mean, what do you make of those comments? I know that for many they were shocking, and for others they were seen as a joke.
I don't think comparisons to Hitler is funny anymore, and I don't know why people still seem to think it's funny. But it is the ultimate insult to call a Jewish senator, you know, refer to a Jewish senator as, you know, as a Führer or Gestapo or Nazi-like, whereas, you know, whereas now if you attack a Tesla, if you there are a lot of attacks on Tesla, not because Elon Musk is Jewish. I mean, you're seeing swastikas drawn on Teslas, but not because they're pro-Nazi. But now Donald Trump and Elon Musk are talking about those being terrorist acts. I mean, it's very interesting that you go you, whenever there's an attack on you, you use the lowest common denominator to respond, and Führer and things like that is just remarkable. Amy, let me just go back to one quick thing. I was thinking of this again when you were talking about news that you can trust, and that is what public radio brings. For many people, the Washington Post is one of those papers that you rely on. You relied on it during the Pentagon Papers, during Watergate, all the years. Now that Jeff Bezos, who doesn't have to ask for donations, who doesn't have to have fundraising drives because he has billions and billions of dollars at his disposal, they've also destroyed the reputation of the Washington Post by controlling the editorial page. The LA Times is going through the same thing, that the ownership of the newspapers are telling you what can be printed and what cannot be printed on the editorial page. Eugene Robinson, a longtime columnist, was one of the people who resigned from the Post last week. Other great news journalists have quit as well. It's scary that if we lose the newspapers that we've trusted for all our lives, and the Washington Post is definitely among those papers, if we can no longer get the news that we are accustomed to getting from the Post, then we have very few options other than public radio, because other public radio doesn't owe its soul to a party or to a president or to a cause. It really owes its soul to the truth. And I'm not saying this to to for no other purpose other than the fact that public radio, at a time like this, when editorial independence is really being chipped away, especially by the newspapers that we've grown to love all these years, public radio is needed more than ever. So yes, the T-shirt will be worth, it's more expensive tomorrow, but it still will be worth it tomorrow. It is just as much as it is valuable today. If you looked at my closet, and this is radio, so you can't see it, but I have, oh, maybe 75 NPR and public radio T-shirts because I can't live without them. Public radio is so important to me, not because it's what gives given me my livelihood, for all the years I was at NPR, but I for somebody who believes in truth and journalism and politics and fair coverage as long as I have. I don't know where we would be without public radio, and that is my public spiel for the day. Thank you very much.
Well, I'll end that spiel with 866-897-9678. That's the number to call. Give at WOSU.org. Right now is a great time to call if you enjoy hearing our monthly conversations with Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. You know, we have Ken on at least once a month to talk about national politics. Things are so fast moving that we can make a list of things like, oh, we want to talk to Ken about that. We want to talk to Ken about that. And then 10 more things come up before we have a chance to even talk about those things. So I always have an extensive list of things to discuss with Ken to get his perspective. He's been covering politics. He's been the political junkie for decades. And he is here with you, our listeners, to 89.7 NPR News to give his perspective and to talk about what he thinks will happen next. You can support that right now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Thank you to Gina Howard from Columbus. And Gina wrote, thank you to WOSU for all it does for listeners and the community. Thank you, Gina, for joining us. We also heard from Annalise, who made a gift membership by Amy Maurer in honor. Thanks to Annalise, and thank you to Amy as well. So I think Annalise was gifted the membership from Amy. So thank you so much for joining us today on 89.7 NPR News. Thanks for being a part of this station. Thanks for giving today. 866-897-9678 or WOSU.org. You brought up Ken. Go ahead. Yeah. Hi.
I was just going to say, you were talking about how long I've been covering politics. I mean, I remember the time when they used to actually elect Democrats in Ohio. No, I'm kidding and teasing about that.
I remember that too.
I mean, John Glenn and Howard Metzenbaum. But the fact is,
well, I don't remember that. I'm thinking more Ted Strickland, but I don't go back.
Oh, that was yesterday. That
yeah,
was yesterday.
yeah.
How about Frank Lauscher? We could talk about it. Anyway, the point is,
let's just name drop random Ohioans. Yes.
Ohio fascinates me because once upon a time, people forget it voted for Barack Obama twice. It voted for Bill Clinton twice. So, I mean, the fact that Ohio has, we've watched the political turn from Ohio from leaning Democrat, or at least a swing state, to solid Republican. It's fascinating to look what's happened to this country. Not that that's a bad thing. It's just amazing how political trends have switched. People say, "Oh, it's the same old, same old." Well, Ohio is not the same old, same old. And you think of how important Ohio is with the Bernie Moreno election in 2024. You have, the fact that the governor, that Mike DeWine, can't run again. The fact that there's a lot of there's an open Senate seat. There's, well, now that the Attorney General has been picked. No, I'm sorry, the Lieutenant Governor.
Lieutenant Governor
to
John
run for the Senate.
Husted. Yeah, he is in. He's our junior senator now. Yes.
Yeah. So I mean, you have so much. Ohio is once again just a fascinating state to watch. And you don't know what's going to happen, but it's just amazing to watch the trends. As somebody who has followed politics as long as I have, to watch what Ohio has moved in the direction it has, and there's a reason for it. And I think people don't realize that it's not just simply that they're anti-Democrats or they're anti-liberal, but a lot of people have been dissatisfied by for so many years by what's been happening in politics that they've moved in a certain direction. So it's just interesting to see if the Democrats can come up with a message that will bring these voters back to the fold.
Yeah, we here in Ohio find it interesting because the governor's race is actually over a year away. It's in 2026, but Vivek Ramaswamy, who is running as a Republican and has Trump's endorsement, is already has ads. So if you live here in Ohio, you'll see ads for Ramaswamy for governor.
I already have his buttons.
You got his buttons. Of
Oh,
course you did. Yes. And then on the Democratic side, we have Dr. Amy Acton, who is known for her work during the pandemic. But then the interesting thing that happened recently is that Sherrod Brown, who lost his Senate seat, as you mentioned, he moved from Cleveland to Columbus.
Right.
He said it was to be closer to his wife's job and closer to five of their eight grandchildren. But everyone is speculating did he move closer? Did he move to Columbus for the grandchildren, or did he move to Columbus to run for something?
Well, he's left open the possibility of running for the Senate or running for governor. I kind of think that his time has come and passed, has come and gone. I mean, he's been around. I mean, he was elected to the Senate in when 90 in 2006, but he was in Congress well before that. I think he was Auditor General or Attorney General before that. I mean, he's been around a long, long time. And I don't know what the answer is. I know there are a lot of young and, Tim Ryan has not given up his hopes for statewide office. So I know Amy Acton is running. I don't know if she's, it depends. I mean, we know that whenever a president is unpopular in a midterm election, he or she can, well, so far it's been he, but can jeopardize the bottom ticket, the bottom of his party's ticket. So we'll see what happens. If Trump's numbers decrease and decline, especially in red states like Ohio, if his numbers decline, then maybe things can change. But right now it'd be fascinating to watch if that red needle, that Republican needle, can move in Ohio.
Does Amy Acton have a button? Do you have an Amy Acton button?
The last time she ran, yes, because she was running before and she was hoping to be the progressive choice. And I do have a button for that, but I have not seen anything for 2026. 2026, yeah, right. And it's interesting, Mike DeWine is, like the thing that just fascinates me. I remember when John Kasich was one of the more conservative members of Congress, and then he wound up to be, he endorsed Obama. He endorsed, Joe Biden. So, Ohio, it's, like everything, the country is just changing, and we'll just see where it takes us. But it's just fascinating to watch.
I love that Ohio makes Ken smile and chuckle. That's great. I'll take it.
does.
I'll take it. Thanks to Selena Thornton from Worthington, who says that they listen to our programming every day. Thank you. And Susan Allen from Dublin. We also heard from James Schwartz in Canal Winchester. Thank you so much for your gifts of support. This is listener supported 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides. This is our spring membership drive. Drive. And for this hour, we're talking politics with Ken Rudin. If you appreciate hearing Ken's perspective on the news, then make a gift now while Ken is on the air. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. If you've been listening to Ken for years and never given before, we're asking you to take that step. Move from listener to contributor today. Today's a great day to make that move because we have a special new member offer. You could get the Stand with the Facts t-shirt for $5 a month as a sustainer or a one-time gift of $60. The shirt is gray and has NPR's Stand with the Facts logo on the front. It has the 89.7 NPR News logo on it, not once, but twice. It's on the sleeve and on the back. So give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Fight the noise out there in the media with knowledge. Ask your friends and neighbors to stand with you by listening to news you can trust and that you can trust to bring you the facts. No fluff. This t-shirt comes in many sizes. It's a bold and stylish statement to encourage others to stand with the facts by listening to 89.7 NPR News. Give $5 a month as a new member or a one-time gift of $60 to get this special offer just for new members, just for today on New Member Monday. The shirt returns to $10 a month tomorrow, so join us now. Join us today. And the best part of giving today is supporting your favorite radio station. If you have been listening for a while and been meaning to give, today's the day to take that leap. Now, if you are already a member, I want to say thank you so much for your support. We truly appreciate you. But maybe you can consider making a small additional gift this hour in support of how much you've been listening in recent weeks, especially as the news cycle has been a little crazy at times. Given any amount right now, the important thing is that we hear from you today. Make this membership drive a great success and invest in the future of public radio. We would love to hear from 15 more people before the hour ends, so we have a little less than 15 minutes remaining. We have about 13 minutes to go, but hearing from 15 more people giving in any amount this hour is going to make a big difference. It's going to help make this drive a great success. It'll help make New Member Monday a success, but we need to hear from you. So 15 people before the hour ends. Give at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Oh, and thank you to John Morales from Columbus. Thank you, John. That means we have 14 to go. So 14 to go this hour. We can meet this goal right now. Ken, I wanted to ask you a little bit more about Elon Musk. So Elon Musk's cost-cutting team, Doge, has been impacting many areas of the federal government over the past few weeks, but it seems like Elon Musk is no longer quite as well-liked by some Republicans as he once was. There are rumblings about him out there. Do you think that he'll stay in his role?
Well, you know, if things get really bad, we know that Donald Trump will need to point fingers. He loves to point fingers at things, you know, that may should be pointed at him, but he'll point elsewhere. And Elon Musk is an obvious reason, a person to point at. His numbers are you know, abysmal. He's a regular target of mockery on Saturday Night Live. You know, you have Mike Myers dancing around the way that Elon Musk would with a cheese head on his head, speaking of Wisconsin. We should talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he's obviously his numbers are just, you know, awful. That's the reason why people are not buying Teslas anymore, because of the reaction to what Elon Musk is doing. It's remarkable that for Republicans and Donald Trump, who for years have talked about unelected bureaucrats who have, you know, run wild by making laws in this country, unelected people, you have the Musk running around like that. And again, the fact that the numbers are so bad, that the fact that so many people are just being fired at random, and, you know, obviously Musk wouldn't be doing this if Trump didn't want him to do it. But if it becomes more and more unpopular, he's not going to fire himself. So the only person left to go, it would be Elon Musk. But I don't think it's happening anytime soon. He's the richest person in the world. He uses his ex soundboard to prop up Trump policies. So I don't think you want to alienate Elon Musk, but again, if it comes down to it, it'll be interesting. You know, before we were also talking about, you know, how the Democrats felt revived and proud over the Cory Booker. This really wasn't a filibuster because he wasn't trying to block legislation, but his 25-hour speech. And I think of what happened in in Wisconsin last Tuesday, also speaking of Elon Musk, the fact that Elon Musk put $20 million of his own money into a state Supreme Court race that
And
we wouldn't
Utah, yeah,
normally
who
hear.
talks about state Supreme Court races and the
And
nationally?
yet, millions and millions of dollars were spent in it to elect. And as it turned out, Susan Crawford, the liberal candidate, they don't run as Democrats or Republicans. They just run as judges, and the Democrats and Republicans decide who they want to choose. Susan Crawford won by about 10 percentage points, but that's crucial election in a state that Donald Trump won in 2016 and 2024. It's a state that is very closely controlled when it comes to redistricting and abortion and things like that. So her election makes continues a 4-3 majority on the state Supreme Court, and it's just crucial for, again, as redistricting and things like that come to down the pike. So Democrats were happy about that. They were also very happy about what happened in Florida, that the elections for Congress, including two seats, including was for Mike Waltz and Matt Gaetz's seat, the fact that they were closer than usual. But I think that's really, the Democrats are cheerful for no real reason. The Republicans won those seats by 30 points last time. Now they only won it by 12 or 15. But that's not a surprise, because when you don't have an incumbent in the race, the numbers aren't as strong as before. But the fact is that the Democrats did better in Florida than in recent years. And the fact that they won big in Wisconsin, despite Elon Musk's millions of dollars, again, it gives them satisfaction. It reminds me of the early years of Richard Nixon. I'm sorry, the year of 1974, when Watergate was starting to pick up and the Democrats started winning special elections. You knew that Richard Nixon's time was up. We'll see if Donald Trump's time is up, even though he's already planning to run for third and fourth term.
This is 89.7 NPR News. This is our spring membership drive. Thanks to Amy Maurer, who made a gift membership on behalf of Nathan Hoftmauer of University Heights. So now we have 13 to go this hour. 13 more gifts to go before the end of the hour. We have about 9 minutes left, so we definitely can meet this goal, but not until we hear from you. Oh, thank you to Karen Paneth from Columbus. And Karen writes that she could not live in Columbus without WOSU, and she says a special hi to Ken Rudin. So that's Karen. So that is now 12 to go. 12 more gifts to go before the end of the hour. We can make this hour a great success. This is our spring membership drive. Your support pays for the programs you listen to every day. Give right now at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. You're running out of time to be a part of New Member Monday. I'm talking to listeners out there who have never given before. We know you've been thinking about it. We know you are listening. And now, today, is the time we ask you to make that move. Move from being a listener to being a member. And as an extra incentive for those new givers out there, we're offering the Stand With The Facts t-shirt for $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. And it is for today only. This special offer is just for New Member Monday at WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. As a regular listener to All Sides, you know we're going to bring you a diverse range of topics. If you appreciate hearing about national politics with Ken Rudin, then now is the time to join us. All Sides is dedicated to in-depth, thoughtful discussions that go beyond the headlines. Support your public radio station today. And you're running out of time this hour to join us on New Member Monday. Get the Stand With The Facts shirt for $5 a month. Get the t-shirt. The t-shirt has NPR's Stand With The Facts logo on the front. And then the 89.7 NPR News logo is on the back and on the sleeve. The shirt is gray and is a unisex fit with a crew neck. It's soft and comfortable, and you can see what it looks like on our website. There's also pictures of it on our social media accounts. Don't miss your chance to make a gift right now and show your support for public radio. The shirt returns to $10 a month tomorrow, so new members, join now at WOSU.org. Or 866-897-9678. Thank you to Dorothea Smith from Columbus. So that means we have 11 to go. Thank you, Dorothea. We also heard from Kip Greenhill from Columbus. Thank you, Kip, for your gift. And then we heard from Deb Moore from Independence, Missouri. So, Deb, thank you for listening from Missouri. Maybe you're tuning in just to hear Ken today. Well, I appreciate your support, and we have 9 more gifts to go to meet our goal for this hour. And we have about 5 minutes remaining, 9 more to go. And now we just heard from Carla Goody from Grove City. Carla, thank you so much. 8 more to go this hour. That's how fast it can happen. You can help make this drive a great success by giving in any amount. If you are already a member, thank you so much for your support. Maybe you can make a small additional gift this hour to make this hour a success. And if you've never been a member before, now is the time to join us on New Member Monday, when you could get the Stand with the Facts t-shirt for $5 a month or a one-time gift of $60. Again, that's WOSU.org or 866-897-9678. And Ken, I wanted to ask you about the U.S. Health and Human Services Secretary, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., visiting Texas over the weekend. He visited on the same day there was a funeral held for a second young child who was not vaccinated, who died from measles-related illnesses. On X, RFK has admitted, and he's tweeted out, that vaccines are the most effective way to prevent the spread of measles. So is he confusing his own message now? What do you make of that? Oh, now we have a heavy sigh. Oh, no.
No, I mean, this is exactly what we've watched. He picks these people. He'll pick somebody who has contempt for the FBI to run the FBI. He'll pick somebody who clearly has contempt for vaccinations to run the HHS. And that's a perfect example. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is known for being a vaccine skeptic. And that's probably one of the reasons why Donald Trump picked him to be HHS, because Trump himself was a vaccine skeptic. But Kennedy's also knows what he's reading in the papers, and the fact that if a measles outbreak happens under the Trump administration, and it's because people are listening to Trump and Kennedy about not getting vaccinated, that's madness. So he may have to swallow his words, but there's so many instances where Kennedy will say something publicly and then in a private message say, I'm really with you about the vaccine. So it's just remarkable. I remember all these people in the worst part, in the last years of Trump's administration, where people were dying of COVID because they refused to wear masks. They refused, there were no vaccinations there, but they refused to do social distancing. And they refused to do all the things that Anthony Fauci, who suddenly became evil in the eyes of Trump, all the common sense things they were pushing, and many people, thousands of people died because they just listened to Trump and listened to the Republican line. It's shameful that there are so many unnecessary deaths because of an ideological battle against vaccines, and it's heartbreaking. So, Kennedy could say, well, maybe I was wrong, but who knows? I don't know. It's more the same of people in this administration that advise, give the wrong advice. People follow them because they follow Fox News and others that kind of persuasion. And many of them pay the price with their lives. So it's just heartbreaking.
This is listener-supported WOSU-FM and HD1 Columbus, and we are online at WOSU.org. I want to say thank you to Julie Stewart-Bragg from Powell, and we heard from Susan and Stephen Malone from Pickerington. We have 6 more gifts to go this hour, and we have about two minutes left to go in the hour. We can meet this goal. And before we leave, I wanted to say thank you to Ken Rudin. Ken Rudin, host of the Political Junkie podcast. Ken, thank you again for being here today.
Amy, thank you. And thank you for what you do. It's crucial importance.
And we thank our listeners for listening today. This is All Sides with Amy Jurevich on 89.7 NPR News. You're running out of time to support this show for New Member Monday. Give now at WOSU.org or call 866-897-9678. Today, we are asking for new members to join us. But if you are a current member, thank you for your ongoing support. Maybe you can make an additional gift right now this hour in support of conversations about national politics with Ken Rudin. If politics is one of your favorite topics, graphics, make a gift now and show how important this is to you. Make a gift today on 89.7 NPR News. Make this hour of All Sides a great success. I want to say thank you to Cindy Snyder from Canal Winchester. That means we have five to go, five more gifts to go this hour. We can meet our goal in this last minute when you join on our website or you go to the phone. I want to say thank you to Sharon Austin from Columbus. That means we have four more to go this hour. Sharon, thank you so much for your gift of support. This is New Member Monday for today only. For $5 a month, you can get the Stand With The Facts t-shirt. We hope you will join us today. If you've been listening for a while, consider making the leap, going from listener to member. Your gift matters today. It brings you trusted national and local news. Give now, don't wait. Join us today before New Member Monday ends. And give right now at WOSU.org or call us at 866-897-9678. Thank you so much for listening today, and thank you for your support of 89.7 NPR News. This is Tanya Mosley, co-host of Fresh Air. You'll see your favorite actors, directors, and comedians on late-night TV shows or YouTube. But what you get with Fresh Air is a deep dive. Spend some quality time with people like Billie Eilish, Questlove, Ariana Grande, Stephen Colbert, and so many more. We ask questions you won't hear asked anywhere else. Listen to the Fresh Air podcast from NPR and WHYY.